Can you hear me now? Yeah? Okay. All right. Benjamin Carlson, are you running around here? Okay, can you come up here with me? I was going to have three of you do this. And if you can leave their mics off, I will turn this one on, and we'll just use this mic. Does that sound good? Okay. So I have this one on. I'm good. If you can just turn theirs off. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask you what you want for Christmas. So if you could have anything for Christmas, I'd like to know what you want for Christmas. Okay? So, who wants to go first? Okay, now I know there's Josiah and Benjamin here, and you'll have to tell me which Commons twins you are, because old pastor can't tell the difference right now.
Well, Seth equals Josiah.
Okay, Seth equals Josiah. So this is Josiah. All right. So, Josiah, what would you like for Christmas? If you could have anything, what would you like for Christmas?
Probably a Kylo Ren lightsaber.
Okay, you'll have to say that a little louder and a little slower. So I know I heard lightsaber, but then what kind of lightsaber?
Kylo
Ren
3.
Kylo Ren. Okay, three-sided lightsaber. Awesome. Do you think if your parents got you one of those presents, they'd let you open it early?
Never. Not enough.
Do you think they should?
No.
No, okay. All right. Well, you just stay here a minute, Josiah. Right here, buddy. Okay, Benjamin, what would you want for Christmas? A few junior novels. Like what kind of novels?
Normally they're books about movies.
Oh.
It's like the movie in a junior novel book.
Okay, so the movie and a junior novel book. And then if your parents got you that, do you think you'd open it early?
No. Just wait.
All right.
Or wait till they want me to.
So they might make you wait past Christmas.
Maybe.
They might, yeah. All right, Benjamin, what would you want for Christmas if you could have anything?
A Bowie knife.
A Bowie knife. Oh, a bow and a knife. A Bowie knife. I got it right. A Bowie knife. Yep. Yep. So who thinks that Benjamin should get a Bowie knife for Christmas? Right, right. Now, Benjamin, if you got a Bowie knife for Christmas, do you think they'd let you open it early? Nope. Okay. All right, thanks, men. Go ahead and have a seat. All right, you'll see how that applies to what we're doing a little bit later on. But this morning, what we're doing is talking about asking Jesus for good gifts, like we had these guys come up and say what they would like for Christmas. I'd like to ask you, what would you like for Christmas? What do you really want? And it's kind of like, when you're thinking about this, it might be like asking, well, if God has good gifts for us, why doesn't he give it to us early? Like, why do we have to wait? So the guy we'll see in this narrative that we'll look at from Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them with me to Mark chapter 2. The guy we'll look at this morning is paralyzed, and what he really wants more than anything else, what he wants is to be healed. Well, why wouldn't God heal him? And some of you have maybe debilitating diseases, or there's people that you love that have debilitating diseases, and why doesn't God just heal them soon? I mean, if God will heal them later, why not just heal them now? Some of us have terrible stress, terrible anxiety that we face. Some of us have afflictions that gnaw at us. The Apostle Paul had an affliction that was gnawing at him that he described as a thorn in his flesh. It was just this terrible affliction that kept eating at him all day long, every day. And he asked God to take it away. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." If God will take it away someday, why won't God take it away now? So if God has, what I'm trying to ask you is, if God has good gifts for us, then why do we have to wait for them? Why doesn't he just give them to us now? And will he give them to us at all? You might be asking. It's kind of like people when they have a hole in your heart from a recent loss or a recent death, and you're asking, why won't God heal this hole in my heart? Why won't God give me this good gift that I'm waiting for? Some of you, maybe you want to get married. Maybe you want children. Maybe you're missing a loved one. If God has good gifts for us, why doesn't he give them to us now? We're in Mark chapter 2, and we're in verse 1. So Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're talking about presents today, so I should get out my present here. And we'll jump in. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. Can you guys just click on the PowerPoint? Just click on the screen. Click on Merry Christmas. There we go. And he returned to Capernaum. So Jesus has been out ministering in Galilee, and he goes to Capernaum. Now what happens quite often when we're reading the Bible is when we come to a place name, we either just skip it or assume it's some fairyland fictional place. But Capernaum is a real place that you can go today and see. You can see the ruins there in Capernaum, and I just want you to get the sense that it's a real place. And it's on the top of the Sea of Galilee. So if we're looking at a map, Capernaum is right here. Now, when it says after some days it was reported that he was at home, that's confusing because you never hear of Jesus of Capernaum. You hear of Jesus of Nazareth, but you don't hear of Jesus of Capernaum. What happened is Jesus is, of course, raised in Nazareth, but then they decide they're going to kill him because they don't like him. So then they don't like what he's saying. So he moves his base of operations up here to the north of the Sea of Galilee, which is Capernaum. Now, just for your point of reference, this is Jerusalem. This is the Dead Sea. This is the Jordan River running up to the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus has moved now his base of operations to Capernaum. And there were many gathered together so that there was no room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And they could not get near him because of the crowd. And they removed the roof above him. When they had made an opening, they let him down. They let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. So here's how to think of it. This is a picture of what this artist thinks Capernaum would have looked like. And I think this is a pretty good picture. The only thing I would maybe change about this picture is when we saw the ruins, which I just showed you a picture of, it looked to me like they were packed much closer together. But other than that, this picture is really pretty accurate. So what you notice in this picture is it looks like there's a place to sit up on the roof. A lot of times you go out of your house and you go up on the roof, like happens in Acts chapter 10, where Peter is up on his roof praying, and then he has this vision, remember, of all the animals coming down out of heaven, and it says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And so the roof is someplace you go to maybe escape the dank dampness in the house, or just get up and get there some fresh air and some sunshine. The roofs were built by putting logs over the walls, and then maybe cross-hatching them, and then putting sticks on them, and then mud on top of them. And you got up the roof by walking up the steps. They made stone steps so you could have access to your roofs. Because the houses were not big, so you'd want more space, and you'd get that space on your roof. So you have to imagine, okay? Jesus has been healing, and so Jesus is attracting giant, giant crowds. It's like Jesus has almost rock star status right now. And he's in this house, and it is packed to the gills. People are touching each other. It's hot. You know, they talk about our American bubble where we need lots of personal space. that personal space is being violated. You know, this is packed in tight. And all of a sudden, they hear these steps coming across the roof. And that doesn't bother them too much because they're used to people being up on the roof. And Jesus continues to teach. And all of a sudden, they hear digging up on the roof. And somebody looks up, and they have a big clod of mud come down and fall on their face. And somebody else looks up, and there's dirt in their eyes. And the sticks are falling through, and there's these guys. And now they can see daylight. And Jesus, of course, has stopped teaching because who can compete with people digging a hole in the roof? And so Jesus has just stopped, and they're all just kind of looking up with dirt falling in their eyes. Or maybe they're looking down, and so the dirt won't fall in their eyes. But all of a sudden, here comes this guy down through the roof being lowered down by four other people, and here he comes right down. What do you think this guy wants for Christmas? And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic. Now, what you have to think of here, you have to think of, like, if you were at your family Christmas and you watch your brother open. Some of you that are younger will have to help me. What's the latest, greatest video game console? Was it a DS4? Is that what you said? PS4. Okay, a PS4. So your brother opens a PS4, and it just has piles of games that your parents bought. And they're the right games, surprisingly. And you're like, whoa, if he got that, what am I going to get, right? And then you see your sister open up a $1,000 gift card to the mall. And you're like, dude, if she got that, what am I going to get, right? And then you open up your present, and it's a giant pile of socks and underwear. That's maybe how this guy felt when he comes through the roof and Jesus sees him, sees them, and said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Is that what he was hoping for? Is that what he wanted? I don't think so. So why would Jesus give him this gift instead of the gift he was hoping for, instead of the gift that he wanted? Because forgiveness of sins is the best gift. Forgiveness of sins is the most important gift. Forgiveness of sins is the gift that you must have. So ask for forgiveness of sins. Let me talk to you about why forgiveness of sins is the best and most important gift. Let's say that you lie to your parents. And so I'm just going to put an L here for lie. Let's say you lie to your parents. What I'm guessing happens is something dies between you and your parents. So now there's a gap between you and your parents that wasn't there before. So they don't trust you now like they used to trust you because you lied to them. Or let's say you're stealing from your brother. So I put an S down here for stealing. I'm guessing that something dies between you and your brother when he finds out that you've been stealing from him because he doesn't trust you anymore. When you find out that, we'll turn it around now, when you find out that your best friend has been gossiping about you, and there's a G for gossip, something dies between you and them. So here's what happens when we sin between each other and between us and God. What happens is when we sin, the Bible says the wages of sin or the payment for that sin or what that sin produces is death. And if death is anything, death is separation. So there's separation now between you and your parents that wasn't there before when they find out you've been lying about them. There's separation now between you and your brother or you and your sister when they find out you've been stealing from them. When you find out that someone that you trusted with secrets has been gossiping about you, there's something dies in that relationship. The wages of sin is death. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that forgiveness of sins is better than a PS4, because what good is a PS4 if your parents give it to you and they're still mad at you? See, you can imagine if your parents are really, really mad at you for lying to them, but they give you a PS4, and I think you'd just receive that PS4 with a bad taste in your mouth. And what you'd really want is your parents to forgive you. If your brother gives you a big, generous gift, but he's mad at you the whole time, I think what you'd rather have is for your brother to forgive you. You see, if God heals the disease but stays mad at us for our sin, we still lose. If God takes away the affliction but stays mad at us for our sin, we still lose. If God fills the hole in our heart but stays mad at us for our sins, we still lose. So the forgiveness of sins is the best gift we can receive. So we ask first and we ask most for the forgiveness of sins. This is why when Jesus sees their faith and the faith of this man, you know, who maybe recruited these guys to lower him down through the roof, he gives him what he really needs. He gives him what he needs most, which is the forgiveness of sins. So begin asking Jesus by asking him for the forgiveness of sins. So second, as we go here in the story. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. I need my three volunteers to come on back up here. Come on back up, guys. This is the last time. There you are. Okay. So some of the scribes are sitting there questioning in their hearts. So remember, the guy comes down through the roof, and Jesus sees their faith and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And they're going in their hearts, this is not okay. So just stand just like that, guys. Just like that. Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You see, what they believed is what we believe, that sins are first and most against God. We do sin against each other, but most of all, when you talk about your sins are forgiven, you're talking about sins are forgiven between us and God. And they have a point, right? Because here, let's talk about it with our men here. So, Benjamin, I need you, you can be here, to pretend. Now you have to pretend, right? Pretend to kick the other Benjamin in the shins as hard as you can. Now don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Okay, we're just going to pretend, and then Benjamin, you really fall down. Like when he pretends to kick you, like you're really going to fall down. Okay, now you Benjamin, you Josiah, just relax. Okay, ready, set, go. They would fall into each other, wouldn't they? Brothers. Okay, all right, very good. Now stand back up. Okay. Now, who sinned against who? Now, maybe this my illustration kind of got thwarted because I didn't think Benjamin would fall into Josiah, but that's okay. You'll get the idea. So what happened was Benjamin Carlson here sinned against Benjamin Commons by kicking him, right? Right? Okay. So what the Pharisees are mad at is it's like, in their minds, Josiah says to Benjamin Carlson, "It's okay, you're forgiven." Is it Josiah Carlson's place to tell Benjamin Carlson that he's forgiven? Did I say it wrong?
You said Josiah Carlson. Not a Carlson.
Is it the guy with the red shirt's job to tell the guy with stars that he's forgiven? No. All right, thanks, guys. Give them a hand. All right, so what Jesus is doing then is Jesus is speaking for God, because it turns out Jesus is God. So where we started was, we said the first gift, the most important gift you can ask for, is the forgiveness of sins. Because you have provoked the wrath of God when you've sinned against God and sinned against God and sinned against God. And God has to punish sin. And so they all knew that. And so here's Jesus pronouncing the forgiveness of sin. Now, how can Jesus pronounce the forgiveness of sins? Because Jesus is God. And Jesus enters humanity, dies for our sins, taking his own wrath as God onto himself so that you and I could go free and be forgiven. So run to Jesus and ask for the forgiveness of sins because he is God. So what we believe is the wages of sin is death. We think sin separates us from God like it separates us from each other. But we believe the answer to this, the solution for this, is the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we think Jesus dying on the cross for our sins is the basis for which we can ask for the forgiveness of our sins. So first we said the most important gift you can receive is the forgiveness of sins. Second, we said we can ask for this because Jesus is God and because he died for our sins. Now, what's going to happen to this guy is he's kind of laying there on the mat, and Jesus is standing there talking to people, and there's people mad at Jesus for saying your sins are forgiven. Well, let's finish the story. And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your heart? In other words, why are you doubting that I can forgive sins? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. And so they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So, does this mean that if you have a debilitating disease, that if you pray long enough and hard enough and earnest enough, that God will heal it? Does this mean that if you have something else that is really, really eating at you, like the Apostle Paul's thorn, that if you pray long enough and hard enough, that God will take it away? Does this mean that if you have a hole in your heart and you pray about it long enough and hard enough, that God will take it away? Because he did here. Here's how I understand Jesus' miracles. I think what we have to do is step back and really look at Jesus' miracles in the really big picture and what Jesus is doing with his whole ministry. What the Gospels say over and over again is that Jesus came preaching repentance because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Other times it says that Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven. What I think Jesus is doing is telling them that God is about to assert his rule fully and finally. That God is about to clean up the mess. That God is about to make all things right. And then what I think the miracles are is they're signs that point towards heaven and tell us what heaven will be like. So when you have a debilitating disease and Jesus heals then, when this man had a debilitating disease and he was paralyzed, Jesus heals him. What he's saying is, in the kingdom of heaven, when God finally and fully makes all things right, makes all things new, you're not going to take this debilitating disease to heaven with you. He's showing them what heaven will be like. In heaven, you'll be finally and completely healed. when he casts out demons, he's showing them what heaven will be like. You won't take the demon to heaven with you. When he raises the dead, he's showing them what heaven will be like. You won't take death with you into heaven. So when we pray for healing, when we pray for relief from the stress that is eating at us, when we pray that God would fill the hole in our heart, what we are doing in a lot of ways is asking for gifts that point towards heaven. It's kind of like asking for a Christmas gift before Christmas, which God likes. You and I get annoyed by it. You and I are bothered by it, by people always asking us for things. Like, I think if my kids asked me for a gift and 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 asked me for a gift, I'd be like, finally, you asked me for that one more time. One more time. But God says, I love that. Keep doing that. Because it shows you have your faith and your hope in me. And when we ask for these gifts, God may give us these gifts. He may. But I don't think you should feel like God doesn't love you if he doesn't give you the gift you're asking for before you get to heaven. I think when Jesus is here ministering, and Jesus is here healing, and Jesus is here casting out demons, and Jesus is here raising the dead, he's pointing people towards heaven. Right now, you and I are waiting for heaven. So feel free to ask. In fact, I'd encourage you to ask. But just know, you may receive that gift now, or you may not. But the most important gift you can ask for is the forgiveness of sins. So I'd like to leave you with three words. The first word is who. Who are you asking for? Who are you praying for? So as you picture the four friends that got this paralyzed man in his mat and attached ropes to it and climbed up on the roof and did something very socially strange. I mean, whatever digging a hole in your neighbor's roof and lowering a paralyzed man through it, whatever that is, it is at least socially strange. But they're doing this because they love this man and because they have a lot of faith in Jesus. And I would ask you, like, who do you love and who do you really believe Jesus can help? I'd ask you to think in your mind, try to picture somebody that you could be praying for. I mean, I hope you'll pray for yourself. You should be praying for yourself. But who else could you be praying for? Like these four men asked Jesus to heal this man. So as maybe even this afternoon, as you spend some time thinking about this and praying about this, who would you be asking the Lord for? The second question I'd have for you is, what could you ask the Lord for? So remember what we said, tried to say very clearly as I can, forgiveness of sins is the most important gift. Because what would any other gift mean if the person giving you the gift hasn't forgiven you? The most important gift you can receive from God is the forgiveness of sins. So I would plead with you to, if you haven't yet, come to God and beg him and plead with him for the forgiveness of your sins. And know who you're asking. You're asking someone to forgive your sins who left heaven and came and joined us in the mess, lived in perfect obedience to the Father, and died sacrificially for your sins in order to forgive your sins. So you will go to him with great confidence because you know he wants to forgive your sins. So first, the most important thing to ask for is the forgiveness of sins. Do this because Jesus is Lord and Jesus wants to forgive your sins. And finally, while you wait. You know, what should we do while we wait, right? Because a lot of us have stuff that we'd like or see holes in other people's lives and wish they were filled. While you wait. Remember, Jesus is using the wait to make you more and more like himself. Remember, Jesus isn't wasting the weight. He is redeeming all things to conform you more and more to his character. Remember, God is working and moving and with you while you wait for heaven. I hope you ask. I hope you ask for the forgiveness of sins. I hope you ask for good gifts. I hope you ask. And I hope you learn to wait well. I hope you learn to become more like Jesus while you wait. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we can spend in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would pull each of us closer to yourself, that you would work mightily here so that people are drawn towards you as their Lord and as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would impel us towards you for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, that you would continue to make us more and more like Jesus.